The question was asked, how does a person become a rabbi? And we have to address that again on a few different levels. Today the term rabbi is used for anyone in the educational field. The joke among educators is the quickest way to become a rabbi is to become a pre-1A teacher. Because then everyone calls you Rabbi Braun or Rabbi Frankenthal or whatever, because you're the teacher of the pre-1A class. All you have to do is know Aleph Beis, teach pre-1A, and you became a rabbi, right? So the title rabbi today has become a general term for anyone that's involved in Jewish education. So that's one type of rabbi, right? Your son's first grade rabbi and second grade rabbi and third grade rabbi will also be called rabbi. And that's one type of rabbi in today's linguistics. Then you have a rabbi who is supposed to give halachic ruling. And that's a little different. Meaning the educators that have the title rabbi, that's like a borrowed term. They have the title rabbi because they're an educator. But the term rabbi for one who gives halachic ruling, so that is really obtained when a person has reached the level that his teacher tells him he should start giving halachic ruling. We call that smicha. The first one to give such approval is Moshe. When Moshe told Joshua to take over and start giving halachic rulings, even though Moshe was still alive, so he placed his two hands upon him, and he declared that he should start leading the Jewish people. Being that he leaned on him with his two hands as though showing that he's giving over to him whatever he had in him. So that's called smicha. Smicha is the act of leaning on something. And ever since then, we use that as a borrowed term for anyone who was ordained by his teacher, whose teacher told him, even though I'm around, you should also answer questions. Okay? So that's the term smicha. Smicha is technically when one is told by his teacher that he should give halachic ruling even though his teacher is still around. Now, some people get tested, and then they get this paper that they call it a smicha, where that paper basically says they are given the right to teach, to give halachic ruling. But that's not necessarily necessary, meaning a person can just as well learn by his teacher and know enough, and his teacher will tell him, you should give halachic ruling, and that's enough. Or his teacher can indicate it, that he should give halachic ruling. You know, if your Rebbe is sending you shilas, he's telling you to paskin, then obviously he wants you to paskin. So that's really the idea of smicha, which has been around for the last 10-15 centuries, last millennium and a half, where a person was ordained by his teacher to give ruling. Really, smicha was broken down in the days of the Talmud. A person can get smicha to give ruling with regards to certain laws. Smicha was not necessarily all-encompassing. There was smicha in the realm, what was called yore, and still today we divide the smicha. There's smicha in the areas that are regular rabbinics, like the question of meat and milk, the questions of family purity, the questions of mourning, the questions, it's usually assumed that it also encompasses the questions of daily living, like prayer and Shabbos and the Yamim Tovim. And then there's Yodin Yodin, which is a smicha in which the teacher says that he is qualified to rule on monetary matters. That's like getting qualification for being a judge. In the days of our sages of the Talmud, smicha was broken down even further because there were other specific areas of halacha that also required smicha. The smicha initially was a direct tradition from Moshe, meaning the original smicha, when one got smicha, he got it from someone who got it from someone who got it from someone all the way back to Moshe. We lost that at one point in Jewish history. So our smicha is really a borrowed term. Our smicha is not the classical smicha of the days of the Talmud. Our smicha is what we described initially. Our smicha is that the Rebbe authorizes the student to give halachic ruling even though he is in his presence. So that's our smicha today. But it's a borrowed term, the smicha. Just like the term rabbi is a borrowed term. None of us are real rabbis because we don't have real smicha. We use the term rabbi even though we don't have that smicha. That's one of the humorous comments of Nachmanides in his debate with the apostate, where the apostate attacks Nachmanides for By what right does he call himself a rabbi? And Nachmanides says, I never call myself rabbi. I'm happy if I could be a good student. Me a rabbi? None of us are real rabbis. We don't use that term. But the truth is we use it as a borrowed term. We don't mean it like the Talmud meant it. What we mean is he was given authorization. And that does not have to be a paper in writing. Many learned people never bothered getting the paper in writing. When everyone knew he was the top student or the top rabbi in his neighborhood, he didn't exactly need someone to authorize him to give a halachic ruling. It was pretty obvious, you know. Rabbi Akiva outwitted his teachers. It was pretty obvious he was fit to rule because he was smarter than his own teachers. His own teachers recognized that. So that's been true in Jewish history as well, where some great leaders didn't need the smicha. It was just so obvious that they were fit for ruling. But generally, smicha today generally does involve the paper, even though it's not always necessary.